Agriculturally, it makes the soil incredibly rich. One of the finest wine producing areas, so I'm told, and frequently told that we should get some Napa Valley wine, is Napa Valley. At the end of Napa Valley is a mountain called St. Helena, not to be confused with St. Helens. That whole area produces the finest wine in the United States. The Yakima Valley, which is a fine producer of fruits, apples, pears, peaches, wines, grapes, is also, sorry?
Cherries.
Cherries is also very close to a volcano.
Was all the land formed with volcanic eruption?
Yeah, in the long run, yes, it is, if you trace the history back. Well, I've more than used up my allotted time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Dora.
Frank.
Greetings and felicitations. I will speak through briefly. I will not give a dissertation. I will go over Tia's points. Tia edited herself extremely well, and she relayed extremely well. Her comments about certain key points not going on the web are quite accurate. Other information that she gave about the chemical factory being used to produce drugs to fight malaria can go on the web. The comments about missiles showing up in Pakistan, that can go on the web. The damage, that can go on the web. Okay, any questions?
Yep. Okay. Let's go to Omal section. Get your own section then, Omal.
Oh, thank you, I am on it.
Oh, no problem, my pleasure. Okay, deep space. On December 14, 1997, an explosion was received on Earth from deep space, from an area about the size of Texas, about 12 billion light years away.
Mm-hmm.
The explosion occurred that, based on E equal MC squared, would have required all the known invisible matter in the universe to release that much energy.
Mm-hmm.
According to the paper that I'm reading, it would be equivalent to the 1,000th of a second after the original Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And to further complicate the matter, over 2,000 explosions occurred since the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So over 2,000 new universes have been created within this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. Is everybody sitting comfortably? Do we have things to lean against and occupy ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to be that dry and boring. Okay, it is a simple explanation that these bursts of energy are perfectly normal and natural. They are created in what you might call giant super black holes. Now, what actually is occurring is as gas and matter approaches the speed of light, bursts of energy are given off. These can be detected in radio galaxies. They can also be seen visually if you look at galaxies that have huge jets shooting out of them. These are not galaxies. These are dust pools whirling in to black holes. The bigger the black hole, the bigger the burst. Now, your universe is expanding. It is being postulated that the universe was created in the Big Bang. That is correct. Research shows that there was a Big Bang. Your research on your planet says that this was an uneven event. Now, I'm going to use some economic terms. Simple economics. inflation is expansion, where money from the future is taken and used in the present. Money that was to be saved and put to one side is used. The same occurs in the expansion of the universe. As it expands, it takes energy from the future and uses it in its expansion. Now, energy can be created in certain reactions. There is not a finite amount of energy in your universe. So, as the universe expands, more energy is created that would be used in the future and created in the future, the expansion becomes more rapid until it reaches a point where there is no more energy to be created. And deinflationary behavior happens. Now, some people speculate that when this happens, time runs backwards. No, it does not. As your universe shrinks back in and on itself, time continues to run in a linear forward pattern. At the point of the Big Crunch, as it has been called, by a gentleman that has a lot of facts right, the universe crunches in upon itself to a point called a naked singularity. A naked singularity is a one-off, but it's not. A naked singularity is a point of infinite smallness and infinite density, and it is the start, as opposed to a singularity, a normal singularity, which occurs at the center of a black hole. Correct. When the universe crunches back in on itself, great amounts of heat are generated and an explosion occurs. And what happens? The process is repeated all over again. Now, as for the amount of energy produced, your scientists do not know how much matter is in your galaxy or your universe. They talk about how much the universe should weigh and that there is a certain amount missing that they cannot determine. There is far more missing than they can determine. And yes, new universes on parallel timelines are being created, and yes, they can be detected.
So, that's an interesting statement right in the Larry Last there.
Oh, it's designed to be.
Universes on parallel lifetimes are being created are being observed. How is it we're able to observe parallel lifetimes?
Or parallel universes.
Parallel universes.
Because not all universes start at the exact same time. And the amount of energy needed to create a parallel universe is quite large. It is very large. It is even difficult for me to comprehend.
Come on, we could spend the next 10 days on this little subject.
Oh, yes, we can. That's why I am editing for speed.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, right. Okay, well, let's go on to this next week, shall we? Because I can't get into that right now, but I want to get into it very badly.
Okay, make your comment and we will save it for later.
Okay. A parallel universe that we could actually consider ourselves part of a lifetime on is being created. Therefore, we're seeing the creation of another portion of ourselves.
Yes, eventually.
Eventually. But if we saw the light had to have take how many billion years to reach us?
Your estimate was 12 billion. Your universe is, in your equations, approximately 15 million, billion years old.
Okay.
So, by this equation, that these are coming from a region of space 12 billion years ago, and that they're still happening, means that the cycle is continued.
We'll get to this again sometime.
Oh, yes, we will.
Okay. Anyone's got a question? I'll take up everything tonight. That's okay.
I have one question. I think about a year ago, I was watching the science program, and I found it really fascinating. I don't know if it just happened or if they just recently discovered it, but they found a little small galaxy that formed in our galaxy. Is that, obviously it's possible, but...
The best way to describe it would be a proto-solar system.
Okay.
Now, a proto-solar system can look very much like a galaxy.
Okay.
And what it is it is as your solar system was about 4 billion years ago.
Was it smaller and it grew?
Yes.
Gases or?
Okay, this is what happens. Okay, you have a star that explodes. It scatters energy throughout the whole entire galaxy and on into the universe. What happens is that clouds of dust and particle from solar systems will form what they call nebulae or nebulas. Hence the phrase looking very nebulous. And what will happen within that nebula is there will be a point that becomes hot and warm. And as it becomes hot and warm, it creates gravity. At first, very small. And gradually matter condenses, creating even hotter reaction. And as more matter is attracted and used in the heat, it becomes more dense and heavier, creating more gravity. As the gravity is created, matter is pulled in and forms a disk around it. As the disk is created, and at the central core is a protostar, a young star.
Okay.
As that happens, the disk spins around and gravity thins it out into a nice thin disk. Now, within that area, there are areas of density which create kind of pockets, and matter is attracted to those dense gravitational pockets, creating from heavier elements than hydrogen, helium, nitrogen, working our way down. As you go to heavier elements, they clump together in different regions, which in turn create heavier areas of matter, which becomes planets. Now, the disk in a protosystem can give off a light as it's been heated and the light refracted from the protostar, which in turn makes it look very much like a galaxy, a young galaxy. So, a galaxy can be created in miniature in a solar system in its early years. Normally, that is within the first 100,000 years of the creation of a proto-system.
Thank
you. No problem.
I only got one more question. Is there a finite amount of energy or matter within the universe?
Now?
Yeah.
Not at this time. As I stated, energy and matter can be created.
Oh, you didn't state that.
It's part of the inflationary comment, so I think I kind of glossed over it slightly.
Yeah, you skipped the matter part. You said yes. Energy.
The energy and matter can be created.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ask Mr. Hawking.
Yeah.
Okay, any more questions?
No,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got time for one more speaker. Who should we put on? By popular request, put the next speaker on. Yo!
Kitty Monster.
Nope.
I like it.
Who?
Like it.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Leica.
I just
waited. How's my girl?
I'm doing good.
Linda Leica, Leica.
Hi.
Hey, Linda. Okay, I suppose I better say what I do.
Yeah.
I'm an oath keeper. That's my duty in life. I fulfill the oaths that Sirius made long ago. More I cannot say. Basically, I'm in the business of stopping and helping third-dimensional planets, even though I'm a six-dimensional being. At the moment, I am a student, as well as some call me captain.
Why do you go around stopping third-dimensional planets?
I don't go around stopping third-dimensional planets. Oh. We go around stopping the harm that is caused on them. Or we try to keep the oath that's serious. You think I'm that buff?
You said it.
Oh,
you said stopping and helping third-dimensional planets.
Okay, so I hop out of a spaceship in a spacesuit. I put out my hand and I stop the planet. I push against it and stop it. Oh yeah, I'm Supergirl.
Trying to clear up for Linda here. Maybe she thinks you are. I don't know.
Hey, yeah. I'm Supergirl. Okay.
I knew what you meant.
I may be buff, but I ain't that buff, buddy. Now, being an oath keeper means that I get into all sorts of nasty situations. I'm not the only oath keeper. I have 90 oath keepers that I look after and take care of.
Yeah.
Good.
You've acquired quite a bit of
resources. Yeah, for my tender age, yeah, it's a lot.
And how are your classes going along
here? I'm looking forward to going back to college next week.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I will be gone for another month, and then I will be back. I will be bringing back a new platoon with me, rotation.
Question.
Uh huh.
Is your studies hard for you, or do they come pretty easy?
Some of them are hard, and some are easy.
Kind of curious.
Mathematics is not my field.
Ooh. Why not?
Well, especially what I'm studying at the moment. Trajectories, ballistics, diameters, all sorts of stuff.
Don't you have little things for that?
Uh-huh.
We have little things for that.
Yeah, but we have to do it in our heads.
Can I make a suggestion?
Uh-huh.
Study history. Study your mathematics and your arms and ballistics and history.
That's how I do it.
A lot easier to
do. Yeah, but when we're sitting in the field studying and trajectories of projectiles and orbital patterns, yeah, they make us do it in our heads.
I understand that, but it comes a lot easier when you find out how it was developed.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it is easy, but it's sitting down, and I get to the point sometimes where I have to take off my shoes and socks.
No, you're just tormenting me now.
Carbon dioxide, I think.
That's the only way that I can remember history. Do it that way.
I don't have that mobility sometimes. I don't have the headset that gives me the mobility on. But anyway, yeah, that's what I do. I keep the oaths that we promised to keep eons ago. And unfortunately, it means that we get into some nasty situations. We have been known to side with certain parties on planets. And we've been known to side against certain parties. But whatever means is necessary to achieve peace.
Okay, question.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you can answer me, maybe you can't. Are we ever going to, in our dimension, in our planet, ever come down to having total peace?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a route to go where we can start something in that?
It's already starting from what I have learned from watching Kiri and Tia and Leah discuss these things. And I see little seeds here and there of harmony. But I also feel, as I feel on my home planet, on Sirius, that it is necessary to maintain a force for self-defense.
Yeah.
Because if you are defenseless, you're soon useless. You're soon taken over.
I get the feeling that the internet is going to help us achieve that point at some time.
You know, I think you're right.
I think when everybody mm-hmm. on the planet is hooked in to everybody else on the planet, borders are going to fall away.
Oh, they already are.
Communications will be falling away, sort of separatism, religion, all that stuff. Maybe a thing of the past.
Well, I see that as a negative, the falling away of ethnic identities.
I agree.
I don't think that, Russ, I don't think your ethnic parts will fall away, but I think that people will come more to understand other people's ethic beliefs.
Mm-hmm. But you feel more like a one world.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, what did Omar call it? Humans first, Americans second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it should be.
I agree.
It's the ethnic identity. It's, yeah. I'm a lowland girl. Kiri and Kara are Highland girls. Leah and Huna are beach bums. So, yeah, I have pride in my ethnic heritage, being a lowland girl.
You know, at the same time, you're a Syrian.
Syrian first.
Well, we're Earthlings.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people think of themselves as Earthlings?
I do.
And not Americans.
Not too many.
I think of myself as human.
Mm-hmm. Human first, or Earthling first, and an American second. I am Syrian first, and I am a lowland girl second.
Oh. It's nice hearing from you again, darling. It really is.
It's good that I'm not tired.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something else I'd like to ask.
Uh-huh.
You said we should be prepared.
It's always handy to be prepared for trouble.
We're talking 6 months' supply. What do you think?
6 months for what?
6 months' supply of food.
Anyhow, would 6 months be a feasible...
Okay, if you're going to be in a hostile situation, you want as much supplies as possible. As soon as that situation occurs, you ration from the get-go. Because if you don't ration and you live normally, as you normally would, you're going to burn through your supplies far, far more rapidly.
As soon as you go to your supplies, you should be rationed.
That's right. Now, if you're in a situation where you are cut off and you want to be able to maintain your position for at least 6 months. And if you are in a siege, the longer you can hold out, the more chance you have of actually winning. Because a force that is camped is subject to all sorts of problems. Boredom, disease,
other forces.
Other forces. The possibility that a relief force may be coming their way. All sorts of possibilities. In a siege, if you spread rumours to the enemy, you have a better chance of surviving.
Propaganda.
You never reveal how many people you have. The problem with studying sieges on your planet, the most recent ones, the Freeman?
Yeah.
Okay, was that they knew how many there was. There was 12 of them. They knew how many there was.
I believe they did. I think you're right, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Now,
they announced it.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there is a known quantity, right? And you know who they are, you can break them so easy.
So what happened in Waco?
They knew how many people were there. I think they even announced that as well. But they goofed up.
Waco was a different situation.
The people at Waco were ready and wanted a fight. So did the freemen. But the tactics were two totally different sets of tactics.
That's because they learned from Waco.
Also, you had a madman at the head of the Waco bunch. He probably told them that when they died, they would all go to heaven.
Yeah.
I don't believe in life after death. I just think it's a really nice way of dealing with the loss of someone you really love.
Yeah, we believe in past lives. Everybody has past lives in our opinion.
I don't believe in my past life. It wasn't a good one.
You must have learned something.
I'm still suffering that.
Yeah. But that's what we believe. We back it up with the fact that we have access to past life experiences in our heads.
That would make a big difference if I would have that down here. That's
yes,
oh,
indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd make a very, very big difference.
Yeah. I've been trying to access that for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, some people can handle the knowledge that you take six-dimensional knowledge or figuring out just to be able to handle the information sometimes.
Mm. Does their dream somehow weave it together?
Yeah.
Sometimes
you live the past life in the present with dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Dreams that seem strange, bizarre. Are dreams of the past.
I'm having a strange dream lately. I have this house on the beach. I mean, it's like my mom's house.
Beach
bum.
Beach bum.
And my surfboard there. I mean,
definitely a beach
bum.
Oh!
Is it a happy memory?
Yeah, it's great.
Before I forget,
I never lived there.
Go ahead,
we
John.
Had a guest speaker for us.
Oh, when?
At the college.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know who. The monk.
Uh-huh. Surf monk.
Surf monk. Cool.
Uh-huh. He came to me afterwards.
No doubt.
And he said, message for you. Dude, Tubular Breakers, nice ball section. Come visit. Find the house on the beach with the grass.
All right. That's not nice. That'd be on Sirius at the beach.
How did we get that?
Astral travel.
You mean we can't bring our body?
Mark can.
Yeah, Mark can.
Okay, now I think the grass that you was referring to was he imported it.
Yes, I'm sure he did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I look forward to that. That's
yeah.
Fun. I think I'll know we'll find it.
I'd like to meet you in person. Yeah.
I know you would. Short stuff.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
I'm 6'2".
I don't care if you're 10 feet tall. That don't matter.
But it's here I look like I'm 10 feet tall. Okay, Tia says we're getting close to the end of the year.
We probably are.
Can we confirm that, please?
Yeah, we're getting pretty close.
Okay, so let's start wrapping down. Do we have questions that I can answer?
None for me.
Okay.
Russ?
Yeah, just a little bit more on the 6-month deal and the being able to maintain a defensive posture.
Uh-huh.
A mental defensive posture is going to be far more, as you were mentioning,
mm-hmm.
important
oh,
than
yes.
a fact of how much food is stocked or whatever. It doesn't matter. A strong mental bond between the inhabitants of the place being stayed in during siege or just a
mm-hmm.
bad crisis
mm-hmm.
is most important.
Yes. Okay. Now, the mentality that you have is if there is a problem,
mm-hmm.
you talk about it. You don't hold it to your sense. If one person finds somebody sitting constantly tapping their watch or something annoying, they tell them sort of like, hey, I don't appreciate that. That's annoying. And you work it out. If you have to get down to fisticuffs to work it out, then that's important. It's got to be done. Having been in a siege, and one that I would sooner forget, morals break down. The fact that you could die at any moment. you live for the moment. So any interaction that occurs, if it's private or public, has to be taken with a certain amount of that's nice fear.
So this is what they call a siege mentality?
Yes. You have to be respectful of privacy. But you also, if you want to be private, have to be aware that there are times when you cannot be private. You do, yeah, bodily functions that people normally go off and do in private, mean that it may be necessary to do it in public. And you're prepared to do what they tell you, and they're prepared to do what you tell them. Because it's not only a one-way street. Yeah, when we were sieged, I had a sergeant that said the fact that I hadn't slept for 48 hours. And she said to me, Lieutenant, you need to sleep. You will go to sleep now. And I did, because I respected her. I had a equivalent lieutenant that told me that it was time that I had something to eat. I hadn't eaten in 36 hours. I did. I obeyed him.
Were you a workaholic or just studying something that really meant a lot?
In the middle of a siege.
Yeah.
The stress caused you to...
We were surrounded. We were trying to fulfill an oath and stop a war. We had sided with a side. And the other side had basically encircled us.
Did you suffer any battle fatigue syndrome?
I still get nightmares.
I was reading an article the other day that prostitutes suffer the highest rate of battle fatigue syndrome out of all conditions combined.
Okay, did the recording just end?
No, not yet.
No, okay,
it's about to go. It's crawling through the last little bits there.
I don't know. We don't have what you call prostitution up here.
So you don't starve from hunger up there?
Oh, I've been hungry. When we were cut off, I was hungry.
Yeah. But the men respect the women more there?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Well, up here, sexual activity falls into three categories.
You respect it, you don't pervert it?
Yeah. It's for fun. It's to get to know somebody. And it's for love. And it doesn't matter with who. If you love the person, that's love. If you just want to pass the time and have some fun, that's sex. If you want to get to know somebody better, there's no better way than bundling up and having fun with them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter with whom. Now, we have a totally different outlook on sex and lovemaking and recreational sex and procreational sex.
Does your species, are they attracted to each other chemically, sexual chemistry, for looks? The way that our humanity evolved that way.
Chemically, we're attracted. Yeah, chemically, we're attracted. Physically, we're attracted and mentally attracted. Past life, we're attracted. And spiritually, we're attracted. When you get all of those together, 9 times out of 10, you found a soulmate, or if you're lucky, a twin soul or a triplet soul or a quadruple soul, if you're lucky. But it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're getting acquainted with somebody, I mean, there's no better way than being intimate. Unfortunately, from what I've heard on Third Dimension, is that sometimes it's also used for domination. That's wrong.
Yep.
That is not respecting sexuality.
No. I mean,
it's perverse.
Yeah. Sexuality is supposed to be enjoyable for both people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's two guys, two girls, three guys, three girls, or all together. Yeah, it's for enjoyment. And how can something that is enjoyable be wrong? Mm. So enjoy it.
Here.
Enjoy it. I enjoy it. I love to have sex. Unfortunately, I also have priorities. So unlike people on the third dimension, it doesn't drive me to distraction. Now, the youngsters on our planet does drive to distraction, but I think that's a common symptom throughout all youngsters. And besides, what is youth for but for exploring?
Okay. Well, youngster.
Yeah, I'm only 21.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I think end of side two.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Shall we do a countdown together? 10, 9, 8,
7,
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, ignition sequence commencing, 1.
Got a ways to go.
Oh, bummer. I got it wrong. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm out of here. I've got to go and do a platoon inspection.
Okay. Nice, nice talking to you.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye. I've got to put my white gloves on.
Come and stop our plan within time.
I will. I'll have to punt some iron first.
Hey.
Yes, we are.
Hey. Yeah, she's buff.
Yeah, she is.
And what's it? Leah's sister would be Buffy the Bunny the Buff. Or Bunny in the Buff.
Down here in the Buff means no clothes on.
That's what I thought it meant. So it'd be Leica the Buff.